Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. This afternoon, authorities will close the state's largest wolf hunting zone, covering the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin, leaving only one zone open for wolf hunting or trapping. The controversial hunt, now in its second year, began on October 15th and will run until hunters reach the 275, I believe it is, 251 wolf kill limit. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we've got a show about wolves, bears, cougars, bobcats, coyotes, and all the other large critters that frequent our woods and prairies in north-central Wisconsin. Our guest today, one of the state's top experts on the subject, Dave McFarland, a large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin DNR. We will also talk about bears, which are expanding in numbers and territory, moving ever further south, and at times causing problems as they extend their range into more heavily populated areas of the state. And we'll talk about cougars or mountain lions and the still infrequent but increasing number of sightings of these elusive, powerful predators in Wisconsin. As always, we'd like to hear from you. If you've got questions or comments about wolves or the wolf hunt, about bears, about cougars or other large carnivores, please give us a call. That's 1-800-780-9742. Those lines are wide open right now. You can get right in if you've got any concerns. We particularly want to hear from you if you think that you've seen a cougar. And again, our lines are open, toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. Dave McFarland, thanks so much for being with us today. I know at least some of this can be kind of controversial, and we appreciate you making yourself available to our listeners.
Oh, no, thank you, Glenn. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have, and it's great to see you again. I think the last time we were together, we were passing bear cubs back and forth in the Marathon County Forest.
So. We were out in the woods together, and we will play that tape a little bit later in the show. Well, tell me how the wolf hunt is going.
It's been going well from an administrative standpoint. We've reached the quota in five of the six management units. We've been able to activate our closure system effectively.
What does that mean, your closure system?
The system that we have in place to monitor the harvest and close units as quotas are reached.
The individual zones for the wolf hunt. And you're just closing today, what, the southern two-thirds of the state?
Correct. Zone 6, which is a large zone that actually extends all the way to the Illinois border. It's an area that's more sparsely occupied by wolves, and that quota was reached today, and the zone will close at 2 p.m.
Well, you don't have much of the state open anymore, right? I mean, you've closed almost all of the zones already, and the hunt just started on October 15th.
Things have gone much quicker this year than they did last year, and zones began closing about a week after the season opened. Last year, the first zone didn't close until November 16th, when zones 2 and 4 closed. Zone 3 remains open, which is a zone that extends from Burnett County over into northern Taylor County. And that zone was the last zone to close last year as well, and we're still fairly below the quota in that unit.
And what's the quota in that unit?
The quota in Unit 3 is 71, and as of this morning, 17 wolves have been registered in that unit.
Would you call the hunt this year a success, since so much of the state has already met that quota?
Well, our goal as an agency was to reach a quota of 251 and to provide an opportunity for the sportsmen in the state to get out and participate in the wolf harvest. And by those measures, I think we have been successful.
Now, the wolf kill limit was increased this year, and as always, it was a controversial decision with impassioned viewpoints on both sides. I want to go back to the DNR meeting on the subject, which took place earlier this year in Wausau.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting in Wausau, the Natural Resources Board voted unanimously to increase the harvest quota to 275 wolves, up from 201 last year. That first hunt failed to reduce the wolf population, which is more than double the target of 350 animals. Wildlife Manager Bill Vanderzaun says the DNR has moved from wolf recovery to wolf management.
Wolves have recovered in this state. People can tolerate this predator in this state.
But not everyone is happy. Howard Goldman of the Humane Society says the increased hunting pressure could be devastating.
People care about wolves. We're not talking about stalks of corn to be harvested. We're talking about highly intelligent and social creatures. We're so fortunate to have wolves in this state.
But Al Loebner of the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association says the increase is warranted because of the conflicts between wolves and people.
Get that wolf population down to a more acceptable number, then we feel the depredation will stop and the dislike that some people have for wolves will diminish.
The quota of 275 animals includes 115 for the Chippewa Indians in the ceded territories. But last year, the Chippewa didn't kill any wolves because of their religious beliefs. Vanderzaun says if that happens again, the state may be able to give some of their quota to other hunters.
Legally, we believe only a declaration for harvest purposes meets the court ruling.
There were no tribal representatives registered to speak at today's hearing. In Wausau, I'm Glenn Mobert for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Right now, we cut that story a few months ago, and a number of things have changed. We had a 275 figure, and the figure is now 251. How did that happen?
Well, the total quota is 275, of which 251 are available for state-licensed hunters and trappers.
And the remaining, 24 animals?
The state decided to reduce the state-licensed quota by 10% within the ceded territory to allow for harvest by the Ojibwe tribes who hold treaty rights in that area.
So that's the Native American tribes, and you don't expect them to harvest anything, right? They view the wolves as sacred animals. They're not going to go out and kill them.
They've been very clear in their desires for wolf management and very clear on their views when it comes to harvesting wolves. And at this point, they have not harvested any to our knowledge, and we do not anticipate that they will.
Now, Bill Vanderzaun said that if the quota wasn't met and the Chippewa didn't take their quota, that legally they might be able to give that number to sportsmen or hunters from the rest of the population. Is that something that you see as a possibility?
Well, that's essentially what's happened this year. We've treated wolves as we treat all other animals. And I'm not an attorney, and this is probably a better question for them, but according to the interpretation of the law, from the agency's perspective, the rights afforded by the treaties to the Ojibwe are harvest rights. And for other species, they have this right for all harvested species in the state. And for other animals, when they have not achieved the full declaration that they've provided to us, we have worked with them to determine what level of reduction in the state license quota will ensure that the total harvest does not exceed the total agreed upon quota. And it was determined this year that a 10% reduction in the state licensed quota for wolves would likely prevent total harvest from exceeding the agreed upon quota of 275.
Okay, very good. And let's look at some of the other comments that were made in that piece. Wildlife Manager Bill Vanderzaun saying that the DNR has moved from wolf recovery to wolf management.
We have. Wolves were listed under the Endangered Species Act. They were removed from the list on January 27th, 2012, and at that time, management authority for the species transitioned from the federal government to the state of Wisconsin and the tribes. And we have made a transition. Removal from the endangered species list opens up new tools, including depredation management using various means.
Mm-hmm.
And with the passage of Act 169, wolves became a game species in the state of Wisconsin. And so the DNR is implementing that law, as we do all other laws, and executing a hunt for for wolves.
Now, wolf hunt is still pretty controversial with a number of people. We heard from Howard Goldman of the Humane Society, who said the increased hunting pressure, in his words, could be devastating. And his quote was, people care about wolves. We're not talking about stalks of corn to be harvested. We're talking about highly intelligent and social creatures. We're so fortunate to have wolves in the state. Howard Goldman would like to see no hunt at all in Wisconsin.
He would, and there's many people who agree with him. And Howard's right. They are a valuable animal, and we are fortunate to have them in Wisconsin, and I agree with him on that point.
But he feels that the target that you've set is too high, and it could make the wolf population less viable. Obviously, you have scientists who disagree with that assessment.
We've brought a lot of science to bear in the design of this season, and based on projections that we've made using very advanced population models that were developed at the University of Wisconsin, we anticipate the quota, if achieved, which it looks like we're on track to do, and if all other mortality factors remain consistent with historic levels, we're anticipating a population decline of 10 to 15% in response to the management actions taken this year.
Now, how big, Dave, is the state's wolf population right now? What is the target, and how effective do you think the hunt is going to be in reducing the population to that target that you've set?
We estimate the wolf population in late winter, and so we estimate the population at the low point in its annual cycle. Pups are born immediately after we count the animals in the state, and we use a minimum population count. We go out, we use snow tracking and radio telemetry to count the animals in the state. In 2013, we estimated the population to be between 809 and 834. That population then increases in April when the pups are born. The management actions that we're taking, again, we anticipate are going to lead to about a 10 to 15% population decline.
And we're talking about, what, 300 animals or thereabouts is the target? That was the old target that was set. Is that still your target? That's a 500-animal discrepancy there. It seems like we've got a pretty healthy wolf population.
We do have a very healthy wolf population in the state. And the DNR manages species according to the species management plans. There's a wolf management plan that was originally written in 1999. It was reaffirmed in 2007, and it identifies a population objective of 350 wolves. That is considerably fewer wolves than we have now, and that is the reason for the management actions that we're taking. We are trying to reduce the population in accordance with that plan, but to do so in a gradual and responsible way so that we can achieve the targets and learn as we go and get there safely.
Now, also on that tape I just played, we heard from Al Loebner of the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association, and he says the increase in the harvest or the kill limit is warranted because of the conflicts between wolves and people. His quote was, get that wolf population down to a more acceptable number, and then we feel the depredation will stop and the dislike that some people have for wolves will diminish. Your reaction to that?
Well, and that's the flip side of the coin. I mean, there are real impacts that the wolf population has on the residents of the state of Wisconsin. And we hope that the management actions that we're taking, not only the hunting season, but also the depredation control program that we have in place, will begin to reduce those conflicts. And the ultimate goal would be to, as it is for all species, would be to minimize the negative conflicts that we have with wolves and maximize all the positives that they bring to our state.
Now, Al is a bear hunter, and a lot of bear hunters use dogs in hunting. How serious of a problem is it for hunters who complain about having their hunting dogs killed by wolves? And what advice can you give them?
Well, this year we've had 23 hunting dogs that we've confirmed were killed by wolves. That is a high number compared to historic levels. Last year there were 6. The year prior there were 22. We've been in the high teens, low 20s in most years. So we believe 2012 was a strangely low year, and this year is more a return to average conflict levels. Every time there is a dog killed that we confirm, we issue a cautionary. We develop a map that shows where that happened. We put a buffer around it to inform hunters where these conflicts are occurring. We hope that provides them with the information to make to make informed decisions on where and when they're going to run their hounds.
Should bear hunters be using dogs?
The use of dogs is a legal method in the state of Wisconsin, and there's a lot of people that are out there doing it, and they enjoy the activity, and it's an approved method of hunting, so they're perfectly within their rights to do so.
If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest is Dave McFarland. He's a large carnivore specialist for the DNR. We're talking about the wolf hunt right now, the second annual wolf hunt in Wisconsin. We will be talking about bears and cougars a little bit later in the show. And Dave, we've got a Facebook message from Matt in Wausau, and I'm just going to read it for you. He says, considering the state of Minnesota with similar demographic and population allows well over 2,000 wolves to roam the state, why is the DNR fixated on a population of just 350 wolves for Wisconsin? If we can allow 2,000 in Minnesota, why not allow 2,000 in Wisconsin?
Well, Minnesota's always had a larger wolf population than the state of Wisconsin. They were extirpated in Wisconsin. They never were in Minnesota. Land use is different in northern Minnesota, less agriculture. The possibilities for conflicts with a population of that size are slightly lower. And, management in Wisconsin for wolves and all other species is a matter of working with the citizens of our state to determine what the proper balance is between the positives and negatives of wolves. And that population figure of 350 was developed by a diverse group of people to represent a compromise that balanced the ecological needs of wolves and some of the social tolerance that we have in the state. And it's important to note, though, that the Natural Resources Board has directed the DNR to review the species management plan for wolves. And we're in the process of doing that right now. We're looking at all aspects of wolf management, including the population objective. And so there is an opportunity for the citizens of the state to weigh in. And if there is a desire to have a population objective that's different, then people can make that opinion known.
Yeah, this is such a controversial topic. How do you balance all of these different points of view? It's pretty tough because people are kind of, they're dug into their positions.
It is a challenge, and it's not a challenge that's unique to Wisconsin. Wolves are controversial across the United States. Many states are going through the same thing that we're going through right now, with wolves being recently removed from the endangered species list, which has resulted in a pretty dramatic change in the management of the species, and some people are very happy with those changes, and some people are very unhappy. And so our challenge is to work with all of the people in the state of Wisconsin to determine what the proper course of action is.
I want to take a look at two different viewpoints in this controversy. Let's look at the point of view, first of all, of farmers and ranchers who are concerned about the wolves killing their livestock and animals. And then a little bit later, we'll look at the point of view of Wisconsin's Native American tribes that view the wolf as a sacred animal. 2 years ago, before the first wolf hunt took place at a hearing of the Natural Resources Board in Stevens Point, we heard from a lot of people, including Annette Olson. She's a rancher and a farmer who has had problems with wolves on her 80-acre farm in St. Croix County. This is what she told the Natural Resources Board.
I, along with my family, raise beef cattle, goats, horses, and from time to time, sheep on our 80-acre farm. We have experienced the loss of animals due to, we believe, wolves. Because our operation is small, the animals we raise are actually viewed as more than just a dollar sign. Some of them are viewed as pets. But all of them are always viewed as investments that we must protect, and they are our property that we are responsible for. It is a very difficult and potentially dangerous situation to walk upon the tortured carcass of a newborn calf, with its mother still circling it, nudging it, still trying to protect it. It is a scene that infuriates a farmer.
A scene that infuriates a farmer. And ranchers have been very vocal in their desire to have wolves controlled in this state. Dave McFarland.
They have. And the impacts of wolves on our ranching community is real. And this year we've had 32 livestock operations that have had confirmed depredation or injury to animals. We've had 30 calves or yearlings depredated. We've had two adult cattle that were depredated. And those impacts are real, and they have an economic impact on these businesses. And the management actions taken by the DNR have been directed towards providing relief to those operations. And those actions have been twofold. One is a depredation response program, where if there is a confirmed conflict, we have federal agents who go and trap wolves and remove them. And then also our harvest season is directed towards concentrating population reduction in the areas where we have these livestock conflicts.
How do you respond when you get calls from people like Annette Olson? Is there any advice you can give her and ranchers?
Well, we have a group of professionals in the Department of Agriculture, Wildlife Services, who respond to these cases, and they work with the farmers. A lot of these situations are very site-specific, and so they work with the farmers to determine what can be done to try to minimize these conflicts. But oftentimes, it's not an issue of poor animal husbandry on the farms. I mean, oftentimes, in most cases, the farmers are doing the right thing. They just are a victim of geography where they're close to wolf activity, and wolves have identified their cattle as a food source, and there isn't much the farmers can do.
There are some people who would like to see no wolves in the state.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do hear those comments as well. And the state is committed, though, to having a sustained wolf population in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we're working hard to determine how to do that properly. But one thing that we are committed to is making sure that we continue to have wolves in this state.
Now, to look at a different point of view, our Native American tribes are adamantly opposed to the wolf hunt. They view the wolf as a sacred animal. At that same DNR hearing in Stevens Point back in 2012, Joe Rose, a tribal elder with the Bad River Band of Chippewa, spoke to the Natural Resources Board, and he shared the Chippewa's creation story, in which wolf and man are viewed as brothers.
It was both Anishinaabe and Moingan, man and wolf, that returned to get some Manado, the Great Spirit. And so man and wolf stood in the presence of Getsemanado. And so the Great Spirit spoke to both of them. In many ways, the two of you are alike. When you take a mate, it will be for life. Your social order will be very complex. And so Moingan was given the wolf pack. Anishinaabe was given the clan system. Both of you will make your living by the chase. Both of you will be excellent hunters. And then there were also prophecies. And if Anishinaabe passes out of existence, all other humans will soon follow. And so our destiny is related to the destiny of Moingan, the wolf, and that's just a part of our teachings.
Your reaction, Dave McFarland, to the Chippewa creation story?
Well, there's no question that wolves are important to the tribal members in the state of Wisconsin, and that has been a controversial and challenging thing for us to work with our tribal partners in managing the wolf population. And we have done a few things that were in response to their concerns. One of the primary things that we've done is closed all of the large reservation lands in the state to harvest, and that using the exterior boundaries, meaning even private end holdings within those exterior boundaries are closed to harvest in order to protect the wolves on the reservations. Also, the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, which is their natural resource agency, is represented on our wolf management committee and is providing input as we develop this new management plan.
How seriously has the relationship between the tribes and the DNR and the state been damaged by the institution of the wolf hunt? Are you even talking to these people at this point in time?
We do. We try to maintain open communication between our agency and the tribes. We've gone and met with them at their Void Task Force meetings. Again, we're in communication with their biologists at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. It has strained relationships, but hopefully as we move forward, we can find a way to continue to work together mm-hmm. on this issue.
Because, you know, for them, it's almost like asking Hindus to kill cows, you know. It's a sacred animal to the tribes. And but when you're dealing with matters of religion, it's hard to get people to compromise.
Yes, that's very true. It's a unique challenge for us. I mean, the issues that we face in working with the tribes on wolves are very different than they are for most other species. You know, it's just not the same as when we're talking about turkeys or other animals. And so we need to be mindful and respectful of their views on this issue. And again, hopefully we can find a way to continue to work together.
Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist for the DNR. Let's talk briefly about safety, and then we'll move on to other issues. If you're in the woods hiking alone, do you have to be afraid of wolves, or are attacks on humans rare?
Yeah, attacks on humans by wolves are extraordinarily rare. There have been a few. I mean, it's not that they never happen, but we have never had a person injured by a wolf in the state of Wisconsin. There was recently an injury to a young boy in Minnesota, but that was the first one that they had ever had. And so wolves really aren't the bad guy that they get made out to be. Little Red Riding Hood is you know, an interesting story, but just doesn't reflect reality in the state of Wisconsin. You know, people, just like with any large animal,
yeah,
people should be respectful of them. You know, they should treat them with the respect due a large carnivore, as they should bears or any other thing. But really, we have not had any significant human safety instances in the state.
Some hunters up north swear the wolf population has decimated the deer herd. Are they right?
There's a lot of concern from our deer hunters in the state, from some of our deer hunters in the state, that the increased predator populations, wolves, bears, a number of other animals, are negatively impacting the deer population. And in some cases, especially at local levels, if you happen to be right in the middle of a center of activity for wolves, yes, you are. They're going to move deer around. Wolves do eat deer. But based on the science that we have available to us, we don't believe that the primary driver of population declines in deer are due to wolves. There's been research conducted by folks at the University of Wisconsin-Madison doing an analysis of all of our deer mm-hmm. predator data. It shows that the primary driver of deer populations is hunters. It's not predators.
Now, if you come upon, if you're walking in the woods, what are the signs that you should look for to know if wolves are in the area? And specifically, let's say you come upon a deer carcass that shows signs of predation. How do you know if that deer was killed by wolves or killed by coyotes, for instance? Will the carcass look different?
It can be difficult to tell. You know, they both have similar patterns. And one of the primary clues, one would be tracks. If there are tracks in the area, wolf tracks are significantly larger than coyote tracks. But from the carcass itself, one of the primary clues is broken bones. Coyotes aren't large enough to break the leg bone of a deer, for example, whereas the bite strength of a wolf is enough to crack open those large bones and get to the marrow on the inside.
We're talking to Dave McFarland. He's a large carnivore specialist for the DNR. We have been talking about wolves, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the still infrequent but growing number of sightings of cougars or mountain lions in our state. And we particularly want to hear from you if you think you've seen a mountain lion. And we're going to talk about Wisconsin's bear population, which is expanding in numbers and territory. And Maury, you've been waiting patiently in Minocqua. Hang in there. Right after the break, I'm going to get to your phone call. But first, let's listen to the words of Aldo Leopold, famed Wisconsin naturalist, from the documentary on his life, a documentary called Green Fire.
We reached the old wolf in time to watch a fierce green fire dying in her eyes. I was young then and full of trigger itch. I thought that because fewer wolves meant more deer, that no wolves would mean hunter's paradise. But after seeing the green fire die, I sensed that neither the wolf nor the mountain agreed with such a view.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Peninsula Players, Ganchert Nursery, and Marshfield Clinic, proud supporters of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from Gunderson Health System, offering second opinions to those facing surgery or cancer treatment. Gunderson specialists are dedicated to giving options for making informed decisions. GundersonHealth.org/second opinion.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. Sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
If you just joined us, we've been talking about wolves and the wolf hunt in Wisconsin with Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist for the DNR. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are going to change topics now and talk about bears and talk about cougars. We particularly want to hear from you if you think you've seen a cougar. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742 if you would like to join the conversation. But first, let's go to the phones. We have Maury in Minocqua who has been waiting patiently. Maury, you've got a call about a bull moose, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, well, maybe about 5 weeks ago, my wife and I were taking a drive just to look at the fall colors, and we were on Highway 47 North, just south of where it connects to Highway 51, south of Mercer, and a little moose came out of the woods and stopped on the side of the road and moseyed across the road and down into the brush on the other side. It didn't really care about us that much. But it was about the same time that we had heard, read some articles in the local newspaper about other moose sightings in the Rhinelander area. And I was just curious if Dave has any information about, are these just transient mammals, or is there a population of moose in the Wisconsin woods?
Maury, thanks for the phone call. Now, Dave, you're a large carnivore specialist. I don't think bulls are meat eaters, but can you handle the question?
I'm stepping outside my sandbox a little bit here, but we do have a small population of wolves in the state. You know, most of them are coming in from either Minnesota or Michigan, where they have more established populations, but we do have several sightings every year. And you're right, there was a moose in Rhinelander. I live in Rhinelander, and it was right outside the YMCA for a while, which was, you know, the talk of the town for a bit. We occasionally have reproduction, but not very frequently. Again, it's a handful of moose that we have in the state right now. And
there was a sighting in Antigo, I think, earlier this year or late last year.
Yeah,
I saw it posted on Facebook.
Yeah, there's a handful of sightings every year. You know, there's a few moose out there, but not too many. So you're really fortunate, Maury, to have been able to see one of them.
Maury, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's move on to bears. Back in the late winter of 2010, which is really the last time I've seen Dave McFarland, I had a chance to go along on a study of bear biology. We found a hibernating mother bear with four cubs in the 9 Mile Forest in Marathon County. The study involved replacing the radio collar on mama bear in an effort to track how big the state's bear population is and how it's expanding south. Now, also on this expedition was then DNR Secretary Matt Frank and the University of Wisconsin's Tim Van Dielen. So let's listen and then talk about it. This is the feature story I produced for Wisconsin Public Radio back in 2010 called The Bear Facts.
Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
Good.
DNR Secretary Matt Frank greets the dozen or so people at a Marathon County trailhead, happy to be out of the office.
This is one of the best parts of the job, just getting out and seeing what everybody's working on.
What everybody's working on is replacing the radio collar on a 12-year-old female black bear that's hibernating about a mile into the woods. It's part of a study headed by Dave McFarland, research scientist with the DNR.
For the last 20 years, we've had bears moving progressively further south. What are the movement corridors? What are the likely barriers?
McFarland's research has shown that the bears are not only on the move, there are more of them. UW-Madison wildlife ecologist Tim Van Dielen says the numbers are much higher than earlier estimates.
When he predicted there were 25 or 30,000 bears, the DNR number was closer to 12 or 15,000.
The hibernating mother is at the southern edge of the state's recognized bear habitat. She was discovered 2 years ago by local hunter Terry Lane.
I was out here rabbit hunting one day and I heard something squealing, making a noise like a puppy. Turned out to be a bear, and then I knew there must have been a newborn in there.
2 years later, the bear is back and is once again a mother, nursing four newborn cubs. Anesthesiologist Joe Bodavis prepares the tranquilizer.
We'll actually use a pole that's about 6 feet long, and we'll attach a syringe to it.
The makeshift group of scientists, hunters, and volunteers trudges through high snow into a clear-cut region of the forest, led by UW-Madison researcher Carl Malcolm.
Those young clear cuts are great denning places.
The party pushes through the spindly growth to the den where the groggy mother lays with her four cubs. Bodavis plunges the syringe into her side, and soon she's asleep. The tiny cubs are pulled away and handed one at a time to the volunteers. They look like cuddly teddy bears. They sound like banshees. DNR Secretary Matt Frank takes two of the frightened cubs and holds them close inside his jacket to calm them down.
Oh, this is what it's all about. How fantastic it is that we have a state where we have a wild bear population like this that is thriving and that we're learning more about through these kind of research efforts.
You ever held two bear cubs like this out in the wild before?
This is a first, and I got to tell you, it's a thrill. It's an absolute thrill.
In the den, as Bodavis shaves the bear's neck and adjusts the new collar, Malcolm tries to extract some milk from the lactating mother.
I told him I'd give it a whirl, but I had never milked a bear before.
A request from other scientists working on a global study of bear biology.
They're really interested in trying to get some milk samples, not just from American black bears, but in fact from as many species of black bears as they could.
How do you milk a bear?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I gave it a try today, and apparently those four cubs that she has, they look really healthy and they look really plump, and that's for a reason.
With a new collar on Mama Bear and the cubs returned to her side, everyone makes a quick exit as the anesthetic wears off. Malcolm and Secretary Frank praise the cooperation between scientists and hunters that made it all possible.
They're not just out there to shoot animals. Nobody cares about these resources more than the people who are out enjoying them, and hunters are at the top of that list.
It's just great to see how this work all comes together on the ground on a day like today.
As for the four cubs, next year they'll be fitted with radio collars to help the team figure out where the state's bear population is moving and how fast. In Marathon County, I'm Glenn Mobert for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Now, that's a story I produced back in 2010. That expedition, Dave McFarland, was something I'll never forget because I actually had an opportunity to hold a bear cub.
Yeah, it's really an amazing, amazing opportunity, and those are the best days of my job is when I get to go out and work directly with wildlife in the state.
And DNR Secretary Matt Frank, then DNR Secretary, said how fantastic it is that we have a state where we have a wild bear population like this that's thriving and that we're learning more about thanks to these kinds of research efforts. Now, this was your study, right, on bear biology, how many bear we have and how much further they're moving south. And there were more bears in the state at the time than people thought.
Yeah, I was working on the population side of that coin, and Carl Malcolm, the other gentleman in the story, was working on the movement portion of that research, and that work continues. We're still trying to learn where bears are moving in the state, and we're conducting population estimates every year.
And we focused on the role hunters play in conservation, how they work to keep the ecosystems intact and the bird population and animal population healthy and thriving. And as we saw in that story, hunters were helping you with your research. We wouldn't have even known about that hibernating mama bear if it wasn't for the hunter who came upon it.
Yeah, hunters are great partners with the DNR. They've been very helpful in multiple research projects. With bears, they've helped us identify den sites. They've also worked with us to go and capture bears when we've needed to do that. They help us with wolf studies as well. Actually, just last week, I was out with a trapper who was coyote trapping, and captured a wolf, incidentally, and he called me and asked if I could come help him get it out of the trap, and we went out, and that was one of our collared animals, and we were able to gather data on it. And really, the hunting and trapping community in the state of Wisconsin have been great partners with the DNR.
1-800-780-9742. If you've got a question for large carnivore specialist Dave McFarland of the DNR, that's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Claire in Baraboo. Claire, you're on Route 51 with Dave McFarland.
Hi, Glenn. I'm really enjoying this show.
Oh, thank you.
A couple of years ago, I was at a friend's house near Mirror Lake State Park, Wisconsin, which, of course, is near Lake Delton, and I saw a mama bear and cub. I was very excited, of course, and it was at dusk. I was going to ask Dave, are there only black bears in Wisconsin, and are the cubs born in the spring? Because I think that was in the summer when I saw that mama and baby, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Claire. We only have one species of bear in the state of Wisconsin, and that is the black bear, Ursus americanus. And the cubs are born generally in midwinter, around February. The cubs are born, but then they stay with the mother throughout their first year of life. And so the mother cares for those cubs throughout the first year. They den together again their second winter. And then when the breeding season comes again around June, so the cubs are about 18 months old or so at that point. At that point, the cubs disperse and they go off and find their own territories.
Claire, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it. You listening to us on 89.1 FM today in Baraboo?
Yes, I am. I do have one other quick question. Have Dave heard of other reports of bears in the Mirror Lake area?
That's one of the areas of the state where we do have a growing bear population. We've started to see more bears showing up in that portion of the state, and even further south. We've had confirmed reproduction as far south as Spring Green.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, reproduction is really from a wildlife biologist standpoint. That's when we consider the population to be starting to establish itself. And we've had animals down near Devil's Lake who we know have reproduced, and down in that Wisconsin River corridor in southwestern Wisconsin.
Will we eventually see bears in northern Illinois? Are they moving that far south?
They've had a couple sightings.
Already?
So, yeah, they have, and we've had sightings very close to the border. Down in Rock County and Greene County, we've had bears as far south as that, and we think that the majority of those are young dispersing animals. But if this pace continues, we can, I guess, expect the population.
Are there too many bears in Wisconsin?
That depends on who you talk to. We are actively working to reduce the bear population in certain parts of the state in response to, again, to conflict situations. And so we've increased harvest quotas across the state in an effort to begin reducing the population and bring some of those conflicts down.
All right, Claire, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it. And we have a Facebook comment from Greg in Mauston who called in. He said he wanted to take this question off the air. He recently killed a deer bow hunting, and the broadhead and part of the arrow shaft were stuck in the deer heart. A bear came and ate the heart. So can a bear pass a broadhead? Is the bear in trouble for consuming that part of the arrow?
Yeah, that's likely a dangerous situation for the bear. Obviously, a broadhead is a very sharp, large object, not something I would want to try to pass. And it could cause damage to the internal organs of the bear. And I'd recommend to hunters, when they have situations like that, to try to remove all portions of the arrow after they've made a kill.
1-800-780-9742. Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist for the DNR. Let's go to Ed in Clam Lake. Ed, you're on Route 51.
Hello.
Ed, please turn your radio down.
Okay. I was wondering, in Minnesota, the wolves, they're getting these dogs from Germany, and it's really helping the predation from wolves. I just wonder why Wisconsin doesn't do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed. Dave, you know anything about that?
I do. Yeah, there's a number of non-lethal management options available to try to control livestock depredations. And we've used many of them in the state of Wisconsin, including guard dogs and other guard animals. We've had farmers who have used donkeys and used llamas for the same purpose. We also use other techniques, one being fladry, which is a fencing technique. It's basically a rope with ribbons on it that seems to prevent wolves from entering pastures. We've used flashing lights. We've really tried almost everything that's available, and they work. You know, some things work better than others. There is an expense associated with them, and they're very site specific. So we do use lethal conflict mitigation means as well.
You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guest is Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist with the DNR. We'll be back to talk about mountain lions after this.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat straw? Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers?
And bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Well, we're finally getting around to mountain lions. We've been talking to Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist of the DNR, about wolves and bears. And now, in the last few minutes of the show, we're going to try to get to some phone calls about cougar sightings. Let's go to Dan, first of all, in Nisida. Dan, you're on Route 51.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to mention that back a few years ago, 2004, 2005, my friend and I were riding our motorcycles to work, and I live in Nisida, and we were traveling to Mauston on Highway 58, and a cougar crossed our path about 50 yards in front of us. And we both pulled our motorcycles over to the side, and, you know, we had talked about, man, did you see that, you know, and I had just never seen, you know, a mountain lion in Wisconsin. So when we got to work, we called the local DNR office, and we were told that there weren't any mountain lions, you know, in the area, and what we saw was probably a bobcat. But, you know, we know what we saw. I grew up, you know, in the area and have seen bobcats my whole life, and, you know, it was, you know, the size of a very, very large dog. And more recently, there was one spotted on a game cam in that area in Mauston, maybe 5 miles from where we saw this. So it just kind of made me feel good that I wasn't crazy, that I actually did see a mountain lion even back in those days.
All right. Dan, I'll tell you what, we're running out of time. I'm going to take another phone call real quick, listen off air, and then we're going to have Dave McFarland comment on both calls. This caller is from Athens, and apparently you saw a cougar there.
Yes, hello, Dave.
Yeah, yes, yes, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I live up by the Athens, northwestern Meredith County, so a bunch of Taylor County out that area.
And very, very quickly, sir.
Yes, and a couple years ago there were cougars out in that area already, out in that area. And there's also wolves out in that area, too. So they are moving. There's plenty of bear in that area also. So,
all right.
Yep, plenty of activity in Wisconsin. People enjoy it.
Thanks for the phone call. Dave, we're down to our last 30 seconds or so. So tell us about cougars. Do we have a breeding population in the state yet, and will we?
Sure. It's it's amazing to see these animals in the state. We don't have a breeding population. We've collected DNA from multiple animals at this point, and all of them have been very consistent. They've been males, and they've all been genetically from the Black Hills of South Dakota. So what we think is we have dispersing animals just moving through the state. Last year, we received 238 reports of cougars, and 22 of those we were able to confirm, and we think that represents 3 to 4 cougars moving through the state. And actually, we just had a report of a cougar based on trail cam sighting in St. Croix County. So Even today, there's a cougar in Wisconsin.
So how long before we have a breeding population, and is that a good thing? A lot of people are frightened of these animals.
Well, again, every animal has been a male to this point, and we think that we're 2 to 3 times beyond the dispersal distance of females from the Black Hills. So a breeding population, we believe, would need to be established between here and South Dakota before we start to have a breeding population in Wisconsin. So it may happen, but it's going to take a while.
Dave McFarland, thanks so much for being with us today. It's been fascinating. Dave McFarland, large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin DNR. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme, special music, and spoken words today from Los Lobos, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, The Tokens, The Wizard of Oz, the Aldo Leopold documentary, Green Fire, and Sergei Prokofiev. Next week on Route 51, a very special Veterans Week program as we interview Chester Nez, the last living Navajo code talker who is in the area for a number of Veterans Week celebrations. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it rebroadcast Friday night at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.